Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. This is part two of the recap. If you missed part one, go check out your podcast feed. It's right there. And without further ado, let's get right back into the recap. So now we go to, speaking of Georgia, now we go to her boyfriend. His name is Prez, P-R-E-Z. You gotta love the names on the show. Prez, we later on have Hook. It's great. Georgia and Prez they're walking along and she has a big announcement. She's like, oh my God, I slept from like 10:30 to 10:30. Like I literally like bleached my arms and then like went uptown.
Which by the way, I didn't fully catch the bleaching of the arms. Is that the arm hair?
I think so.
Tough.
Unless you just is this the closest we're gonna get to like a clean hand from Georgia? Is that she's just gonna stick her entire arm into a bucket of bleach?
Yeah, I don't wash my hands. I just bleach them. Okay, I love the conversation between Ava and Georgia where Georgia goes, "Prez is my new boyfriend, and he's a completely different like ball game." And Ava's like, "But isn't he in crypto? No, he is crypto adjacent. He is not in." Crypto. He's crypto adjacent. I think crypto adjacent is hilarious.
Yeah, I cracked up when she said crypto adjacent. I was like, I don't know if I want to even be adjacent to that.
No, I want to be out of crypto stadium in a different town and across a different border.
Away, far, far away. And so Georgia explains, he's like building like a betting platform. And it's opinion based. So they run a poll every day. Like, is Mom Donnie's wife hot? Like, yes or no? Like, you're kind of like betting on what you think the majority of the opinion is. And they get like a lot of funding from like crypto places because he used to be kind of in crypto. So it's like, okay, it's a crypto fueled business that definitely will not be at risk when the crypto market, which is famously volatile, tanks the next time.
Right. And it's only a place where you can bet on stupid things like the attractive level of a government official. And then we can have people spend their money most likely from crypto into a stupid betting website. Oh, yeah. Crypto adjacent. That sounds great. I'm happy for you, girl.
By the way, any thoughts on is Mom Donnie's wife hot? Do you want to bet? You want to place a bet on it? It's like, hey,
I've got three Bitcoins
for dinner. Why are you paying for dinner? Oh, I won this bet about whether or not Mom Donnie's wife was hot.
She is.
It turns out she is. Next, I've got $300 riding on Joanne Wally Kilmer. So,
and I'm paying $500 for Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's if they're serving salmon or beef.
I wrote in halibut. I don't know. I'm just being wild.
It could yield a big return.
Yeah. I do wonder what today's. I wish I knew what the app was because I would love to see what today's quiz was or is. So Georgia and Prez, they're now going to a high tea date, and they're sitting at this place, one of these like tea places that's like over the top and kind of like fancy or whatever. And Georgia they're deciding between I guess a chair and a couch, and I only bring this up because I just think it's funny. Like Georgia navigating between furniture, like pieces of furniture that she wants to sit on.
And I think it's amazing that Prez goes, whichever one you don't want. He's so afraid. He's afraid of her in a way that I find to be weirdly romantic.
I know. Georgia tells us that Prez and I are 1 week apart, same year, 1 week apart, born in the same city. He's a New Yorker, which I think is like very important for me. And she asks if he went to Manor School growing up. And he's like, no. Did you go to Manor School growing up? She's like, clearly not. It's funny. There's this poll I was just seeing this morning that was like, are people who went to Manor School hot or not? I bet $200.
And of course I voted, yeah.
So I guess that means I'm not hot. Actually, I just realized. She didn't go to Manor School. She's not
You're
hot.
Right. You're right. But then... When Georgia's like, I didn't go to Manor School, I raw dog life. And then it goes to a shot last year of Georgia touching the bottom of a shoe and then saying, okay, first of all, being a little bit of a slob is kind of cool. And then she's like, yeah, that's why we're so perfect. You don't wash your hands. I don't wash my hands. I just bleach them.
Yeah, I basically sterilized them over an open flame for about 30 seconds. And Prez is like, yeah, I don't wash my hands as much as I used to. And she goes, because of me? He goes, yeah. She goes, aww. Aww. And then they touch their dirty hands together.
It's going to be so sweet when they both go to the hospital for dysentery.
People with dysentery, hot or not, vote here. This is my dysentery body. So now we go to Ava and her manager, Andrew, that are just walking along. And Ava's like, oh my God, I think somebody just threw up behind us. It's like, that's very New York. Which it is.
I love that's New fair. York. So chic. You can just hear someone vomit behind you. I'm just finishing Lena Dunham's book. And did you see the, there's like a thing about, who's the famous Vogue photographer? The photographer. Apparently when Lena Dunham was shooting a photo shoot for Vogue on the Brooklyn Bridge, someone jumped off the bridge behind her. I'm just picturing like them. Oh, so New York. it's like the darkest stuff ever. Jesus.
Wow. Like, was it caught on camera? Because that would have been a shot. They say like if a stuntman dies while you're filming a movie, like you should use that shot because it's like they died in vain. You know?
Wow, that's really beautiful. I love how much we can really take the value of the shot over. I just think this is all so dark-sided. It's all so dark.
You know, this is what happens when you introduce Lena Dunham into a recap of Next Gen New York City. Lena Dunham, hot or not, vote here. So Ava's getting ready because she and Riley and Namira are going to be doing an Urban Outfitters holiday campaign. It's going to be like a holiday party before Halloween. That's very exciting. And they're going to get ready for this big party. And Ava is saying how Amira has everything figured out because Amira has like a car and she has an apartment. Amira is also paying $16,000 for her apartment, which is crazy.
Insane. Like,
legitimately crazy. And it gets me worried because I know she's doing well with social media, but I worried like, are you doing that? I mean, can you earn that much money on social media? I guess you can. $16,000.
You can. My husband works in influencer marketing, and I know that the big ones make a ton, but I don't think, I mean, $16,000 a month feels like 0.1%. of earners, and it's hard to sustain that. But go off, Amira. I mean, she's clearly killing it, but it does not sound fun. Her days sound horrible.
I know. And we see right away, we go to Amira recording one of her videos, and she goes, you guys, I just got home from the gym and I'm about to have a protein shake. I wanted to talk about it with you. Color me intrigued.
I wanted to talk to you about my protein shake. And then she says, a typical day in my life is crazy. Like, I genuinely start most of my days at 5 a.m. and I start filming all of my content, mostly about protein. And then you see her go from work events to the dinners to then repeating it all the next day. I'm like, I know a lot of kids these days want to be influencers, but does that sound fun? Like, I know she has this whole scene about her work-life balance, but that sounds like burnout central.
I know. You know what? I need to hold on one second. We need to pause this for one second because Ava is about to tell me about her protein shake. So give me about 30 seconds. I need to find out about it and we'll come back to the podcast.
Okay, do that.
You guys want to find out about my protein shake? Okay, here we go.
Let's go live.
I do think it actually sounds really grueling because every now and then I'm like, you know what? I've got a little bit of a following. I'm gonna raise my social media profile. I'm gonna do some more influencey things. You know what? I'm gonna post a story every day where I'm gonna show a little bit of my life every single day. And I literally never do it because sometimes the idea of just like getting up and like recording something, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to.
It's hard enough to live life and then to like have to capture every other moment and then rewatch every other moment and then put a caption over it and then click post and then keep living your life and then capture it and then do it again day after day after day after day. Groundhog Day Central, girl.
It's hard. Like, I'm trying to build a name for myself in food and board gaming on the side, and like, You really just have to throw yourself out. You have to like really be so shameless. Be like, guys, check it out. Here's some salmon. This is how you cut it. Okay, like and subscribe. This is called a knife. Okay, I love to get them. You can get them anywhere. You know, and then you're like,
it is shameless. And unfortunately, the reason why we are not crazy people is because we do have some shame. And yeah, it's hard to break free.
Yeah. We now go over to Riley, who we haven't seen all season. She finally returns to the show, an episode and a half into the new season. And she's talking about how she does not really text in the group chat that much. So she's like, yeah, I mean, literally the group text went off yesterday and I put down my phone for 5 seconds. There was like 20 messages. I was like, wow, I cannot believe Riley, being as chatty as she always is, does not contribute a lot to the group text.
And then she's like, people just start liking it. And I was like, what is even going on? And I'm like, I can't hear you. And then we see the full text exchange. And it's like, honestly, it does sound like a nightmare, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's a Love Island text exchange. As someone who's in an active Love Island text group, when those episodes start airing, those text messages fly fast and furious.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Riley's whole thing is that like she took a year off after school. By the way, I feel like after you graduate, if you take a year off after you graduate, that's just a year in your life. If you're not like enrolled in something, you're not taking it off and you don't have a job, you're not taking it off from anything.
That's just vacation.
That's just you living your life and not having a job.
That's a year-long vacation.
But the good news for her is that she is, even though she wants to be a DJ, she's also interested in becoming an entertainment attorney. So she is going to apply to law school at Columbia, which is very impressive. Mm-hmm. And that's the direction that she wants to take her life these days, which is exciting.
I actually really appreciated this next scene where Brooks and Riley are talking on the phone, because again, it surprises me when there's like well-adjusted children of housewives, because Brooks being honest about like my brand, I'm like really struggling with my brand. And I feel like you have to be patient, because like it doesn't all happen overnight. And then Riley saying, exactly, like you have to be patient. Our parents are doing the best that they ever have, like right now. And they're like 30 years older than us, which is actually really good advice. Like I talk about on my podcast a bunch about how like I worry that my career is not where it's supposed to be, or I like compare myself, but like these kids are right. Their parents have been hustling for a very long time and are super rich and obnoxious now, but they were always obnoxious but not always rich. And it takes a while to build this shit. So I give Brooks respect for that. Like you gotta deal with the ebbs and flows.
Yeah, and Riley. Yeah, and Riley also having that perspective instead of being a spoiled brat is great. You know,
because they know that they need to hustle and they have to continue to hustle,
or be just volunteer at some like dog and cat shelters and get an espresso machine.
As long as you're posting something, that's all that matters.
Post. Tell us about your protein shake.
Yeah.
So now we have a scene of Amira going out to dinner with her mom. And actually, it was both of her parents. It's a very nice scene. They meet up, and basically, she talks about how her parents they got divorced, but now they're like friends with each other, and they have a really nice relationship. And she's talking to them about having a work life balance issue, and she works really hard, and it's just hard because a lot of her friends like don't get it. They don't understand that sometimes you have to wake up and tell people about your protein shake in the morning, okay? And that's effort. But her parents are like so lovely and supportive of her. I really appreciate this. They're very kind and nice people. But there's also nothing terribly funny that happens here. It's just like,
no, but their kid. My thought from this was, even though they don't talk about how Amira is trans, I think that's actually cool that they don't, and that she is like kind of the head bitch in charge. I think it's so refreshing to have Amira as just like a boss bitch with parents who are like clearly loving her and supportive of her. I'm like, God, this is so nice to see versus, you know, all the other shit that we have to, that is going on in the world. And for Amira to be like just a total boss with like nice parents, and she happens to be trans, accepting. I think is incredible.
That's not the headline. That's the best part. It's not the headline.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it never has been. It's just like they just accept her for exactly for who she is and support her and love her regardless. And that's really the template of how it should be for everyone.
100%.
And one thing that Amira is saying is that it's really hard for her in the city, or it had been hard for her to get to where she is, because her last name, Despain, doesn't have any sort of like weight in the city. Like it has no heft. It doesn't mean anything to anyone. However, we then go over to Ava, who is, she's like, I have a famous last name and I can go. She's having pizza and she's like, you know, living in the shadow of your family and having to deal with your reputation while also trying to make a reputation of your own and build your own brand and have a slice of pizza at the same time. It just sucks. So I'm just really out here hustling, as evidenced by me sitting here having a slice of pizza. I just want that independence. I want my own apartment. I want to be like Amira. The grass is always greener, Eric. It's like that.
I was just thinking that, like, clearly your name is nothing if you don't have, it doesn't matter if you got a big name, you got to have the goddamn hustle and the drive. And
yeah,
I think Ava might have it, but if she wants a $16,000 apartment like Amira, then you got to be posting about that protein shake every other hour, girly.
I don't want to tell you what you got to do with your life, but it rhymes with gloatin.
Break.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, but Ava's like, you know, it's really hard having a famous last name, but I want to make a name. I want to get out there. I want to be independent. I want to work hard and do what I need to do. And Georgia's like, by the way, I have an apartment for you. She's like, does it have a doorman? It's like, do you need a doorman? She's like, yeah, I need a doorman. It's like, before I can become independent like Amira, I first need to start at a certain level. So I need a doorman, please. I need to feel safe. She's like, well, he owns like a restaurant down below, which is like a really good sushi restaurant, and he would give you free dinner and stuff. So.
And she's like, well, okay, free sushi, safety, which of course the fancy sushi restaurant is probably in the most dangerous part of town. You would be in so much danger. Yeah. And that's, you have to weigh between a dragon roll and a life of crime. I think you're okay.
Yeah. I think I'm taking the dragon roll. Also, by the way, I don't believe for one second that you're always going to be fed free sushi. I think you get one meal, maybe like once every 9 months, and you have to come in crying and look like you're in a rom-com and just like a car, like a taxi just drove by in a puddle and splashed you.
Yeah, girl, we're in a recession.
You get your dragon roll.
That fresh sushi ain't cheap. You'll get one dragon roll per every presidency.
Yeah, you're on a dragon roll stipend. It's not happening every single time. So now Georgia meets up with her gay, Cooper, which we love a gay friend. Right.
Yeah, but Cooper, poor Cooper has to hear her monologue for an hour, and it just keeps cutting to Cooper going, right, right, right. Which
he was ready to have a whole scene. He had like a little, he was wearing like a little like marching band kind of jacket, or like ringmaster. Like it had the like the little
tassels.
All those tassels.
Yeah, he comes in a full look, meanwhile says a half of a syllable.
I know. So George is like, guess what, Cooper? I have tea. She's actually moving out of her boyfriend's apartment. And he's like, oh yeah, well, I have some news about my boyfriend. Anyway, so it kind of makes sense actually, because like I made the mistake of moving in with a partner, as we all know it. Well, my boyfriend told me he doesn't want it. And also like the relationship I was like in, like, I think last year, everyone, it's just like insane. It's just like, but like, it's just crazy. It's like, so I think that we're going to be going on a break. Anyway, there's like free sushi. And I told her like, you can get free sushi. I know you won't be safe, but you get free sushi. Am I right? Anyway, great seeing you.
Oh, I'm glad we had this chat. We've all had a Georgia in our life, and Georgia is the friend that people say behind her back, she's really great in small doses, and yeah. I love her every now and again.
I know, she really is. Or she, her tagline could be, "But enough about me. How are you?" Which happens 35 minutes into the conversation.
100%.
But she is going on and on about Omar. and talking about how Omar stole her business idea and is like cozying up to Charlie, and she's just like not happy about it whatsoever. And then meanwhile, we see Charlie and Shy are meeting up to go out to drinks or something like that. And Charlie, just so you know, this street gets 5 out of 5 stars from Charlie, who says, "This is a cool ass street. Great choice, Shy."
Which I think it's by the South Street. It's like Lower Manhattan. I used to be a tour guide, and I would walk people Stone Street. I would walk people down this street, and it is actually quite cute. And there's some great little eateries there. So you know what? It was a good choice.
Shy's great. He picks the best streets. Yeah. Stone Street. I mean, what else? Is it related to Eric?
Stone Eric Stone Street? Street? Yeah, I think he actually founded it in 17. Yeah, he's a witch.
He's been around all this time. So lots more text messages come through. It's such a very dense show because there's so much information that we have to weed through. But we see Shy, and he's talking about how he says Georgia posted the most blurry photo of her kissing some guy. It's the most Georgia post I've ever seen. And Charlie's like,
God bless her. When she's like 45, 50, she's for sure going to be one of those like schizo, like energy healer type ladies, which I think is so mean. But of course, cut to me being like, she's a character actress. He's just saying it in a mean straight way.
I think it's mean too, because I think it's going to happen when she's 35. So yeah. Charlie's saying he's like chill with Georgia, but like, I don't know. There's all this stuff with Omar. It's like, I don't know. I don't see why it's that emotionally charged. And then Georgia's telling Cooper, she's like, you know, I love Charlie. I actually fucking loved him and I cared about him. And I have seen him in like moments be caring. Like he let me sleep on his couch for like a month. And that is not nothing. But then like, it's like you have like 7,000 other things that he did that are like so unacceptable. Like I had two clients in the past couple months say our legal team is worried about hiring you because you have associations with Charlie Secor. Also, we just are not sure about you as a person.
But then she does say, he's like affecting my business. Like nothing's like fallen through yet, but I'm doing all these events to make money to pay rent. It's very expensive to live here. I don't have parents who are like, here's $250,000. Go have fun. Which in a way, I do sort of like the honesty of these people talking about who has the famous parents with money and who doesn't, because that is a quintessential part of living in New York, is who here actually has to pay their rent versus who here has parents doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So then Shy is telling Charlie a story that he went to Georgia had a bowling party, presumably to drum up hype for a club. And he's like, you know, I always go to everything Georgia puts on. And I had a brand launch party. And then last minute, Georgia was like, oh my God, I'm not feeling well. But then she posted on her stories that night that she was out with friends, which.
Tough.
Not cool. That's tough.
Not cool. And then Charlie does one of his isms. That's whack. It's like, okay, I'm going to slide in.
Did she slide? Did she slide out of that plans?
Yeah. Man, that's whack. Now it's like, okay, now that's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but go off, King.
Yeah. Shy, we got an update on what he does in his life because we never learned last year because he was on for 5 seconds. And right. he has started a clothing brand. And he's like, my first collection was like 30 shirts. It's like all one of a kind. It's all like upcycled material and like from like flea markets and like from like old grandmas like hoarding stuff. And I'm like taking it off their hands. So if your grandma has any old linens, like send her my way. Like give her my number. You know what I'm saying?
I want to call y'all's grandmas. You got a grandma? I'll hit up your grandma. I'll slide.
Did you like his shirts, Eric?
Ultimately, I did. What I was more questioning of is the business model of, oh, so you're just reselling clothes.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's a thrift store.
Well, is he reshaping the linens into new shirts?
He's saying upcycling, which like again, Shy is such an earnest, sweet soul that I hope that I can, you know, do nothing but support his brand. But for him to say we only have 30 pieces, so it's like, okay, so you bought 30 shirts. And then you try to sell this 30 shirts. Like, I do question sort of what is going on behind the scenes with this brand, but I only cheer for our Shy, and you know that.
Yeah, we love our Shy, and actually Charlie does have they make some jokes about, like, yeah, he's gonna start like releasing some shirts that are only black and have diamonds on them, and that way Hudson will buy them. And they're like, yeah, Charlie goes, dude, that's the move. Make your clothing band specifically curated for Hudson's taste. And they're laughing as if like brands don't already do this.
Right.
I'm like, it's called fashion.
And the joke is that they're like, how can we best fuck over our rich friend Hudson?
Yeah, I know, exactly. How can we extract as much money from Hudson as possible? You know,
at least they're all being honest with themselves.
Yeah. Let's move on to a new day. It's a new day. It's a new text chat. There's going to be the party is tonight. The holiday party.
Oh yeah. Let's get to that party.
The Urban Outfitters holiday party. And they're all excited. Brooks and Liam are on FaceTime, and Liam is like, hey man, have fun tonight. Let me know if there's any tea that I miss. And Brooks is like, I'll fill you in on how it goes. Wish you were coming. I mean, I'm working through some challenges right now with my brand and stuff. So it's like hard. And Brooks is saying how he has a resort collection that he's dropping, and it was supposed to drop in June, but now it's October and it hasn't really dropped. And if anything, it's sort of wound up in Texas, and he needs to be in New York. And doesn't his dad do this stuff? Where's Seth to help him out?
Yeah, I'm sure Seth is doing a lot of heavy lifting, but I have to say, this conversation where Liam's like trying to brainstorm how they can do it together, it is speaking to my eighth grade self so deeply, to what we talked about at the top. I'm like, this is why Liam has me in his little clutches. It's because he wants to help his gay friend's resort line, and they're going to rent a truck from Texas and drive it to New York.
And do you know, like, when you're there and you're, you know, when you basically, when you do have, like the star of, when you have like Nathan Detroit, and he is saying to you as ensemble member 13 in Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat, hey, you, I'll drive with you from Texas to New York. You're like, oh my God, it's happening. It's happening.
This is the first time ensemble member number 13 has ever been given so much responsibility as sitting up in front with Nathan Detroit. This is, I won't let you down. Like, it's so chosen. It's, you know, no one's going to rain on my parade. It's just so, it's so huge for Brooks.
Yeah. I mean, it's good, old, and reliable.
And so, then Brooks goes, sounds like fire school is going really well. You're like a modern day Hannah Montana. What?
This pierced a big hole in the image that Liam was creating for himself. Liam is like seeing himself as like, yeah, I'm a volunteer firefighter. He's like, you're like Hannah Montana. He's like, yeah, I guess I am. Sure.
You're right. Kind of best of both worlds. Sure. I see where you're, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I mean, party in the USA, I guess. Party in Lake George.
But hop off the plane at Lake George International.
I would say Jay-Z's on the radio, but there's no reception. So, Liam is missing this party because he is learning how to be a volunteer firefighter in Lake George. And he's also talking about, he's like, hey, you ever hear a coyote cry? He's like, what? No. It's like, yeah, it's terrifying. It's like, but I like the escape up here. I have to go up here and I think about everything I regret up here. Listen to the coyotes crying.
And then Brooks goes, purge yourself of it. Such a like theater gaze, just trying to yes and whatever the hell the straight guy is talking about.
He's like, I don't know what this guy's talking about. Right. I also think anytime you mention coyotes, you're kind of entering fuckboy territory. Mm-hmm. I think it's just like coyotes are full on. Like any discussion of coyotes is fuckboy, right?
Oh yeah, it's a classic trope of where you have a wolf on your shirt too, and it's like, oh, he's gonna ruin me. Okay.
Yeah. So Georgia is having issues with Shy, it turns out, because Shy is friends with Charlie. And she doesn't really like that. She doesn't like Shy being friends with Charlie because she has a beef with Charlie. So we're learning that there's a burgeoning issue on that front. And then Riley is talking about her relationship with Shy. She sees Shy as like a cute little brother, you know. And Shy tells her, she's like, I mean, I don't I don't want to sound mean, but like, I didn't know who you were last year. Like, I didn't like know who your mom was. And like, I've just never seen the show. I've never watched reality TV. I only watched Survivor.
She's like, yeah, clearly. I actually do believe Shy.
Okay.
Do you not?
You know what? I do believe it, but I still sometimes find it crazy that there's a world where people don't watch reality TV.
Oh, I know.
But I know there it is, but I just,
you're a little inside of it, I would say. You're a little.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't watch a lot of scripted, so I'm like the inverse. I'm like, what?
Like, yeah, and some people only watch Love Island and nothing else. Like, sort of wild how many different people, different journeys people take. But if I think Shy doesn't watch Real Housewives, he might be lying about not knowing who Candy is. How could you not know Candy? I mean, she's an institution.
Yeah, you have to know who Candy is. Yeah, there's a lot of texts going around, flying around furiously, diagonal wipes happening left and right. It's like triangles on the screen, text messages, lots of stimulation. And Ariana starts talking about how Hudson's gravitating towards Charlie and she does not like it. And she says, I assume Charlie's going to be at the Urban event tonight, but like, I'm sure Amira invited him. And if he is, like, we're definitely having a conversation. So, now Amira is getting ready and she's basically saying, you know, I think that Charlie's misunderstood and the producers want me to invite him to the party. So I'm just going to say that I feel bad for him and he's going to come to the party tonight.
And then Charlie has actually some self-awareness where he's like, oh, this friend group, I'm no stranger to walking into a room and having someone be upset with me or, you know, me be the focus of the drama. Like, I don't have any issues with anybody. I think one or two people might be uncomfortable. Like, my biggest fan at the moment, the fact that I'm in headlines, you know, associated with the things I think that people might be uncomfortable with me being there with, whatever. Like, I get it. The guy was tortured and I was there. Okay, we get it.
It's like, big deal. I mean, how many of us have been to parties where there's been someone strapped to a bed up top being electrocuted by the ends of a table lamp wire? No big whoop.
We blackmailed him out of Italy. What's the big fucking deal?
So now we go to this event and they're all saying hi and everything. And Ava is posing with the box of pizza and she's saying, yes, pizza.
And then Brooks, this is one of my favorites, is something on fire? Ava goes, oh, I thought it was my hair because that happened to me once, but it's not. No. It's like, you're on fire. Oh my God. That was a good pickup line, Brooks. And then when he goes, yeah. No, but literally it smells like fire. Like, no, so it wasn't a pickup line. It does smell like flame. But then he very smartly gassed her up for a second and then literally. Actually asked about the literal issue of flame.
You are like hot like fire, but it's also a fire. You're not on fire, but there may be a fire in the vicinity.
You look good, and should I call 911?
Should I call Liam? He knows how to handle this. Liam's like, I'll be there as soon as possible. Just give me 8 hours. There's traffic on the Taconic.
I'll be here at 2:30 in the morning, so I think we're okay.
Very exciting time because now we meet yet another new cast member. This is Rowan, daughter of Shields. Tell me,
I love her so much, Ben.
Tell me.
I just think that when your mom is Brooke Shields and then you end up being such a funny character actress as her daughter, I feel so lucky to see her on our screens. Like, she is everything. I think she is a star from the jump. She showed up on screen.
Yeah, and she's like a lot goofier than I'd expect the spawn of Brooke Shields to be. I have no shade against Brooke Shields. I love Brooke Shields, you know, Suddenly Susan, other things that she does. But like Rowan to be such a goofy, you know, rom-com, you know, girl whose umbrella gets inverted by the wind late, you know, type. You know, very happy.
It's almost like a little Emma Stonian, would you say?
Yeah, I was just about to say. Yeah.
So likable.
Yeah. She bursts onto the scene and the first thing that she does is bite into an undercooked chicken nugget. And there's just like a wave of concern of like, oh my God, it's undercooked. You were literally about to die. You just got on the show and you were literally going to die on the show so quickly. So she spits it out and everything. And Rowan, she starts telling us about you know, her life and everything. And she says, you know, I grew up different than most and I recognize it, but it was never like Brooke Shields is my mom. It was more like my mom is Brooke Shields. Does that make sense?
Which, you know, at first glance, it doesn't. But then you digest it for a second and you understand that she is Emmastonian and you realize it does make sense. She's saying that it's not that she woke up every day and said, oh my God, my mom is Brooke Shields. She woke up and said, my mom is my mom, who happens to be Brooke Shields. And that's why Rowan is so normal, is because her mom never weaponized her fame over her children.
That's exactly right. So Georgia loves Rowan. She's like, you look beautiful. The coat is great. The coat is a good add-on. And you know what's so funny? I just answered a poll today about, do coats make you look hot? And the answer is yes. Did you know that Mom Donnie's wife wears a coat?
And she actually was voted hot as well. So you're in good company, girl.
Bad news though. They did say that Brooke Shields is no longer hot, which is so mean. I was like, what? That's a crazy thing to say.
And I know I shouldn't have told you that, but that
I had to be honest with you
because we're friends and my boyfriend used to not summer with you, but like, you know him.
Oh, wait a second. I just looked it up. Brooke Shields is still hot. They say that Brooks, as in the body of water, are not hot. Streams are hot.
And sorry. Brooks are, the water is hot, but your jacket is not hot. I'm so sorry. I read it wrong.
Sorry, the polls are changing like minute by minute. It's like a really intense world that we live in.
Yeah, you know, crypto is really volatile. Oh, shit. I wasn't supposed to say that.
Oh, my God. Have you had Brooks coin yet? It's so good. What? What about my coin? No, not you. It's Body of Water Brooks, not you, Brooks.
Okay. My business is really suffering. Okay.
So Rowan says that, like, she's like, being friends with like Ariana and being friends with Georgia is just like the difference in like night and day. Cause like Ariana is like very type A and I would say Georgia is like type Y. And Georgia was just like telling me that Prez is like a little upset. Like, cause I keep eating in his, I guess Georgia's eating in his bed and she keeps eating chips in his bed and like filling the bed with potato chips.
Yeah. Like, Ariana washes her hands and, Georgia, just came down with, the black plague.
Georgia is like, she told me recently that she voted that bubonic plague is hot, and I didn't really know what that meant until she actually got it.
And she got it from the chips in her bed because they were actually pre-war. The chips were from the pre-war apartment.
I don't love that Georgia is eating lots of potato chips in the bed and getting little chip fragments all over the sheets.
I hate it so much.
It's actually terrible.
No.
It's terrible. And you know, then, she's like, what? You just brush it off.
I have such self-diagnosed OCD about washing hands that I love George's quirkiness, but I cannot co-sign living in New York City and not washing your hands.
Yeah, and like touching the bottom of that shoe. I have a new thing, which is about shoelaces. And I think sometimes we forget how disgusting shoelaces are, because those shoelaces, they touch everything and they soak. They soak in a way that soles don't soak. And so like, we may be careful about like not touching the bottom of our shoes, but when we're tying and untying our shoes, we are touching those shoelaces that were marinating in whatever was in the bathroom, whatever was on the sidewalk, whatever was on that sticky floor. And, it's terrible.
I agree. Really terrible. And I wash my hands as like too many times. I'm probably overwashing, but I prefer that.
You have to wash because you have to compensate for Georgia. Like, if one person's not washing, then the balance of life is that someone has to wash twice.
Well, and like Lisa Rinna wiping down all of her hotel rooms. Like, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Charlie comes in and Georgia is not looking at him, and he noticed, he clocks this, and he's like, it's so ridiculous. It's so dramatic. And he's also upset because he thought this was somehow going to be like a sit down formal dinner. I don't know why an Urban Outfitters holiday launch, pre-Halloween holiday launch party would speaks to like a tasting menu.
Three, four course meal.
But that's what he thought. And he's just like walking around and like no one wants to talk to him or look at him. And he's like kind of feeling sad. Charlie's like a very sad billionaire child right now. Sad when you think about it.
Poor Charlie. I'm sure he will struggle to find the next person to torture in a Soho loft.
Yeah. So Brooks is saying how like Amira has basically given Charlie an olive branch. He's like, not like an olive branch, but like what's like an arm? Like I don't know, like a finger, like a life float, like something like that. It's like, you know, Gen Z, I am a little concerned for Gen Z.
For their frame of reference for like phrases and sayings.
Yes, exactly. So then Charlie now, first he tries to talk to Riley and Riley's like, please don't hug me. Please don't touch me. Please don't talk to me. And Charlie's like, okay, fine. All right, well, I guess this isn't going to work out. So Riley basically shoos him away. And then Charlie is like trying to talk. After Riley, he's like, he then sees like Georgia across the way. He's like, can we talk? She's like, no, we're still not talking. No, no, nothing for me. Bye. Get out of here. Don't need you here. Thank you. I also liked, by the way, when Riley said something about like, you know what? This is like not my circus, not my monkeys. I just don't even care anymore. And Chai's like, did you say not my turkey?
Not my turkey, not my Thanksgiving. Yeah, nah, I fear for these Gen Z kids too now. And then he goes, oh wait, I just invented that. That's amazing. It's like, well, first of all, you overheard someone you thought say that. So you did not invent that. And second of all, it's actually not a good saying. Not my turkey, not my Thanksgiving. Rolls off the tongue, Chai.
It's very wordy, Chai. That's not an upcycled phrase. So then, meanwhile, over with Gia and Amira and Brooks and Rowan and Riley, Gia's like, guys, did you hear about my drama a little bit? Riley's like, I heard something about it. It sounded boring. Is it as boring as it sounds? She's like, yeah. I mean, it was about my mom on Following Ava. Brooks is like, oh God, not this again. As if we didn't sit through all of last season when Brooks belabored Charlie saying something to Chloe over text about like, can't wait to have you come over to my place without your brother or something like that.
Well, they do love to, it's me, the joke's on me by saying, I love how fast they move past that fight. And now Gia's at the end of this episode, bringing back up like Teresa unfollowing Ava Dash.
I know. And Rowan's trying to follow and she just can't. I think she's still like, I think her mind is still thinking about whether or not she's going to die from her undercooked chicken nugget.
Oh, which I would be there too. But I did love how Brooks like checks in with Rowan where he's like, are you following Rowan? And then she's like, oh yeah. And she does a full lotsy, a full bit about, yeah, totally. Absolutely got it. No, I'm like, this softy bee is really good. And then all of a sudden Hook walks in, which
Hook.
Talk about the star name Hook.
I mean, wow. This guy, I mean, he's like, the name Hook is very exciting.
It is, but then the fact that his birth name is Tyler, I find that to be really exciting. Charlie's like, so I was friends with Ava and Tyler, or Hook, and it's like clearly Hook told them before the show, I'm going by Hook now, okay? Don't call me Tyler. My name's not Tyler.
He's like, I did not go to Sybil Friends Academy, okay? My name is Hook, and I'm from the streets.
My name is Hook, and I am a conceptual journalist. What?
They're like, wait a second, but didn't you go to Cornell? Didn't you major in hotel
management?
And he's like, hotel management? He's like, no. My name's Hook. I was raised in a phone booth and I'm tough.
I do hard graffiti. Knocks. I am living in Red Hook. Okay.
I'm of the streets. I'm pretty gritty. I also am a huge fan of self-check-in. It's like, you did do hotel management. No, I mean checking yourself.
Yeah, don't check me, boo. You know. Who gon' check me? Boo. I'm losing it, Ben.
I'm losing it too because I forgot that this episode was supersized and it's like It's an episode that is not ending. As I, when I sat there, I watched it. I thought, oh, I love this show. But when you go through it, you're like, wow, it never ends. It's just,
well, like you said, the editing, it's like a Shakespearean play.
And now it's just like one little vignette after another. The next vignette is Rowan going up to Shai and saying, do you like this jacket? It's like it's real polar bear. And he goes, no, it's not.
check the tag. And then he goes, that's not real polar bear. It's Zara, which incredible.
Because he's like holding out the idea that like it could have been polar bear.
He's like, this is Manhattan. This is next gen NYC. I mean, someone might be wearing real polar bear to the function. But then Shai is me when I was 19, just like always hopeful that he would fall in love, because he's like, you know, this is my first time meeting Rowan, and A+. I think I could see myself with Brooke Shields' daughter. I never knew who she was. I did see the Addams Family on Broadway, and I think she might have been in that, but I don't know who she is.
I remember seeing Grease sometime in the mid 90s, and I'm pretty sure I saw her there, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think there was a documentary about her, but I don't watch that kind of stuff.
I don't know. I have to make sure that this family is a family I want to be associated with, because if they're down to hunt polar bear, I don't know about that.
But anyways, A+, Rowan, I'd like to date her. And then I do like their little cute bit where Shai goes, oh, Rowan, I think you lost some of your coat. And there was the little white fluff on the ground. And then Rowan, yes, anded that shit. And she did. And then, of course, Shai goes, so a boyfriend, girlfriend? And I think Rowan handled it beautifully. 4 years. And then Shai, that's a long time. Puts me right out of the running. No, I'm kidding. And then Rowan, as of right now, yeah, which... I do wonder if that's gonna bite her in the ass, because I think she was just trying to be yes, Andy, bitsy bootsy girl. But when you're on camera on a show about relationships, that, you know, Rowan's boyfriend of 4 years might not love that she said on camera as of right now.
Yeah, she was trying to be bitsy boopy, but it was more like bitsy oopsie.
Exactly. I agree, and I did.
Yeah. So Ariana is a bunch of the kids, basically all the non-straight men have gathered, and they're like, who's inviting Charlie to these parties? What is going on here? Why is he here? And George is like, I mean, it's like crazy. It's like the city has like 8 million people. And like, why does like Hudson have to hang out with Charlie? Or why does Omar have to hang out with Charlie? Like, what is Amira? Is Amira the one who's bringing Charlie around? This is all Amira's fault, because they're trying to like also manufacture a feud between Amira and Georgia over a fight from last year about maybe Ozempic, but maybe Amira's boyfriend. So they're all kind of like, why do we have this like great, perfect, like, girls and gays circle here. Why are we ruining it with Charlie? This could be the perfect show. Why is he here?
Which I did like the sort of cut to Amira, like taking her selfies and being fabulous. I'm like, that is a good little seed for future drama, which is why these producers know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. So then this is when Georgia spots her boyfriend talking. Prez is talking to Charlie, and she's like, get over here. Don't you dare talk to him.
And Georgia goes, Prez is like this cute, like sparkling, unbothered ball of light. And you have Charlie's just like prickly, like dark, like, I don't know. I lost the poetry, but he fucking sucks. And I do understand your point, Ben, that she would not want Prez around Charlie for very real reasons, but I don't know. Something tells me that Prez is so afraid of Georgia that he's not going to do anything to hurt that.
Well, the other thing is, what value does Prez have? Is he of a famous family? Does his family have money? Because if he has no money, then she has nothing to worry about. Like, if he offers no value to Charlie, like, Charlie will discard him immediately. Actually, well, if anything, Charlie will be friends with Prez only to annoy Georgia.
Right. Which is not beneath Charlie. But Prez, allegedly, his family was hanging out with the Brooke Shields' family. So,
that's right.
So there's got to be some status there, yeah.
Unless his, like, family... Yep. maybe his family, maybe his like dad was on Suddenly Susan, and oh, that's the connection.
Full circle. Great. I would love that. That lore.
The lore, the Suddenly Susan lore would be just so excellent. So there's like a little speech about like, welcome to our brand. Thanks. Ava does a whole thing of like, friends are the chosen family and holidays are for family. So we're happy to be spending it with all of our friends. And if you know of a good place that has a doorman, just let me know. Cause family, yay. And now they're done with this party and now they're outside. And Charlie's still trying to talk with everyone. And everyone's just like, gross, Charlie. And so, Charlie winds up with like Charlie and Ariana talking. And for all of Ariana's bluster about why Charlie is the worst in the world, she has this like sort of lengthy conversation with him that is very friendly. Did you notice? Smiles?
I did, but I couldn't tell if I just have so much respect for Ariana that I'm like, I think Charlie was trying to work his charm over her, but she was actually trying to play into it by just being like, yeah, I'm going to yes and you a bit, but just don't fuck up my ex-boyfriend who I still actually love. Like, I kind of think Ariana still had the power in that scene.
Yeah. I feel like they're worried that Hudson's going to get on hard drugs or something, which I think is like a legitimate fear. Like, Charlie is the type to be like, hey, bro, you ever try this? And then it's like an after-school special.
But that's how it happens. I think all Hudson wants is to feel, not to get too therapy about it, but all Hudson wants to feel is like valued and cool and accepted. And then I bet Ariana sees that he could become, you know, Charlie's next colleague in torturing someone.
Yeah. Which would be not great.
No good.
Would be a very bad image for the chicken empire of his family. So they have this whole talk, and then everyone's like watching around the corner, like, ew, why is she talking to him? It's gross.
Brooks is like, I can't.
And then like Charlie comes over and Brooks just like runs away. He runs around the corner. He's like, ah! And Ariana, the episode sort of draws to an end. Amazingly, you never thought it was going to happen. But Ariana is basically like, I believe that there is 100% two sides to Charlie. His ego is so big, but he's just like, and he's like a fucking prick. But there's like a side of Charlie that shows you his heart a little bit and like cares. Like, because like somewhere deep, 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 deep down, he's like a good guy. And we see him turn on his electric water kettle and make himself some tea and look out over New York City and then be like, ow, I fucking burned myself on this. And
I burned the shit out of my mouth trying to sip this shit too. You're even trying to like, sound Gen Z about your tea sipping.
I know, because the producers were like, so do you have any tea, Charlie? He's like, fine. And he like actually makes himself some tea. It's like, that wasn't what we meant,
Charlie. Ow. He's like, I tried to slide into this cuppa and got burned up. Bug.
One of my least favorite words, cuppa. Yeah. Thank you, Eric, for participating in this lengthy Next Gen recap. It's such a fun show. You are so hilarious. Remind everyone where they can find you.
Thank you for having me, Ben. I'm at Eric Wills on Instagram, ericwillz, and you'll see my podcast, Gay Ass Podcast, there, and all my other stuff. And Ben, you're the best, and I adore you.
You're the best. We love you so much. And thanks for being here. Bye, everyone.
Mwah.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels!
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS, we love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again?
We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K. Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.